Now, that particular song was written by a vicar in Bradford, England. His name is John Hartley. He plays the guitar, and he has a church there in Bradford. And he writes the music and the lyrics, and they're just beautiful. Well, we were looking at things about the Holy Spirit a few years ago, and Steve Bayless found some of his, you know, heard him on the Internet. And so he contacted John, and he said, could I make a choir arrangement out of that? Isn't that the way it worked? And he said, yes, as long as you send it to me and let me see what you've done. And he liked it, and we like it, and it's great. And so the Spirit of the Lord is all over the world, and it connects us in ways that we probably don't really even understand. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy are sending this letter to the church at Thessalonica. So this is in one of the openings. We've been in these books, and these two books we'll spend the next 2 months in. And here's what he writes. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. As you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. Now, let's pretend that we get a message from God. Now, this message is a little shorter than the one you just heard, but let's pretend we get this message. My dear son, my dear daughter, you have been chosen by me. Thank you for responding to my love, even in hardship. You, your life, and your faith are a gift to the world. I love you. God. Maybe he would even sign it Abba. Father. Daddy. This is essentially the message that God was sending the Thessalonians when Paul and Silas and Timothy wrote or sent that letter. So we're going to look at the letter and look at different components of the faith. First, God chooses you. First thing we need to learn is basic Christian belief. If we could somehow work our way to God, we would not need God. Then we'd had some that succeeded and others that failed. And so it's not that way, so we must think of it in this way. And from this verse, the wages or the consequences or the results of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we let that verse define it, and let's see if we can imagine what it means. So let's imagine that you're in a boat during a storm, and you're rocking away, and you're being tossed about. You cannot right that boat. You can't control it. There's nothing you can do. And finally, you're thrown out of the boat overboard. And after struggling for a while in the water, you sink down to the bottom. And you are done. There's nothing you can do about it. There's no life left. You cannot in any way sort of stretch your hand up to God, save me. No, not at all. It has to be God who in his mercy reaches down, seeing you in trouble, pulls you, your helpless self, out and saves you. That's what it means that God chooses you. Romans tells us this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference in people for people in ability or skill. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many of you have memorized that verse? Oh, we need to see more hands. That's your assignment for this week. You need to memorize that verse. To my dear son, to my dear daughter, you have been chosen by me. God initiates. People believe. The Thessalonian church, upon embracing the message, received the Holy Spirit. But it was God's initiation. And when they received the Holy Spirit, it brought them great joy. They were thrilled. They were so happy. They became an example. They became a gift to the world. To my dear daughter, to my dear son, you've been chosen by me. Thank you for responding to my love. You, your life, and your faith are a gift to the world. This gift of this Spirit of God is given when you're enlivened by faith. That's when you get it. You may be surprised by this, but it goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Goes back to Mount Sinai. When the people of God were gathered at the bottom of the mountain and Moses received the law. And that happened 1,500 years before this event at Pentecost. Also, the date we're celebrating today. So you think back to Mount Sinai, then you think to Pentecost, and now you think of today, Pentecost. And on this date, Jews celebrate a festival called Shavuot, the Festival of Weeks. It was called Pentecost by Greek Jews. And that was a celebrating of receiving the law from God at Mount Sinai, God's gift of the law, and it comes 50 days after the second day of Passover. That's why all those Jews from all those towns were in Jerusalem, because they were celebrating that. Now, when they stood at that mountain, if you go read back in Deuteronomy, it says, God chose these people. They did not choose him. God chose these people at that mountain. Now, we're building a foundation step by step by step so we understand Pentecost, so we understand more about the Holy Spirit. So, you're special. You are special. You're special simply because he loves you. So, we to the person next to you and say, you are special. Even if it's your brother, he is special because God chose him. Okay? So now, I have to practice that. That's your second homework assignment. It's summer. Study up for fall, so that's your second assignment. You tell somebody in your family every day, you are special. It really works when you're mad at them. Watch your tone. You're special. So the festival coincides with the Christian celebration of Pentecost. The two festivals come together at that point and that date in Jerusalem, 50 days after Easter, or 50 days, see, it was a week-long festival, 50 days after the second day of Passover. And so they're there. Perhaps, Pentecost, which means 50, perhaps that title came from the Jews that were there that day. Interesting, isn't it? So, at Mount Sinai, God gave the gift of the law, and the law was to be obeyed. And boy, you know what happens when we're put forth a law to obey. And so these people were to be holy. They were to be priests to all the nations around them. Remember, God wants us to bless the nations around us. They had the law. They were to follow the law, be holy, bless others. Boy, was that hard from day one. That was very difficult. They failed, and we heard that in the scripture. Isaiah tells us the people rebelled and grieved the Holy Spirit, even though God hoped that they would not. We always hope, don't we, that someone would obey, someone would follow. So what is a good God to do? He's suffering. God is suffering because of their failure. But this did not actually catch God off guard. God had a plan. God understand that they would fail, that they could not keep the law, and so we're going to discover it, what that plan was. Now, when the event happened at Mount Sinai, they were at the foot of a mountain, all the people. And up on the mountain, if you've seen other pictures of that, there was all kinds of things happening. There was lightning, there was smoke, there was fire that was kind of flashing about. There was supernatural shofar blowing. And I'm wondering if Ross heard any shofars in Israel. He bought one. He will be blowing that next week for us. The earth was quaking. People of Israel said, I never want to go through this again. It was so scary. They were just really like, okay, Moses, we've had enough now. And in like manner at Pentecost, things started happening. A violent wind, the sound of a wind, the sound, miraculous sounds of shofar blowing and things like that, mysterious sounds, fire, Holy Spirit falling like fire on these people, flames of fire. The Holy Spirit has arrived. Do you see the similarities between the two? God likes to give us these hints and let us see. A Jew would have appreciated seeing all that because a Jew would have been trained in their upbringing. They would have known the scriptures. They would have known what would happen to the people. It says it there in the Old Testament. And so you can go read it for yourself. And see the similarities of receiving the Torah all those years ago that God had come near to them then. Oh, God was coming near. God was coming here on this day, although this time God indwells the believers. The God who gives the Holy Spirit lives in his chosen people. He puts his Spirit into you. The temple is no longer external, it's now in you. The law is not external, it's in you. Do you read it and see it? Your gift from God, this Holy Spirit, is so valuable that the Thessalonians just embraced it. Just embraced it in spite of persecution. People were saying, you're nuts. Don't do it. It's wrong. It's weird. It's, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you odd. To my dear daughter, to my dear son, you have been chosen by me. Thank you for responding to my love, even in hardship. You, your life, and your faith are a gift to who? Huh? A gift to the world. A gift to the world. Thessalonians were a gift to the world. You are a gift to the world. So, how do we receive it? I don't feel like much of a gift, do you? How do we receive it? What do we do? Did you ever receive a gift that you didn't know how to activate it or you didn't know what to do? Anything that has to do with TVs or computers, that's to do for me. I finally watched a movie the other day. It was just an accident. Well, way back before cell phones and all of that, my dad gave me, I was always losing my keys. And so he gave me a keychain that you could hook to your keys and then you clapped and they would come to you. Well, it was almost like that. They would just buzz and you had to go get them. But anyway, he gave me that. It never worked for me. One day I lost my keys and my dad was with me. And I just didn't, he goes, well, use your clapper. And I was like, it's in the drawer. I just did not want to tell him that it was in the drawer because I hadn't bought a battery, nor had I read the instructions. And so I had this gift, but it didn't work. I won't tell you what he said. Do you ignore the Holy Spirit? Is it like that for you? Do you think, well, that's too, you know, that's the instructions are too hard. I don't know how to make this thing work. Well, here's your instructions, folks. First thing Paul says is the Holy Spirit has power. Power. There's power in your life when you connect with the Holy Spirit, and his presence is powerful. Once in the Old Testament, they were rebuilding Jerusalem. They're going to rebuild the temple, and there was a king named Zerubbabel, and he was trying to organize this, and it wasn't happening. It stalled out. The temple was only partially built, and the people quit. And he was so discouraged, he didn't know what to do. So he went to Zechariah, the prophet, and Zechariah gave him this message after praying. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God would intervene with those people, would motivate those people, help those people complete that amazing task, and it will be completed. And it was. It was. So the Holy Spirit helps you accomplish more than you can ask or imagine in the power of the Holy Spirit. He helps you. Number two. Romans 5:5 tells us God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit helps you grasp God's love. Do you ever feel you just don't quite feel loved by God? Well, I'm one of those, you know, seconds, those things in the grocery store that you can buy reduced price. You know, you might feel like I'm one of those. I don't think he really loves me. A lot of people feel that way. But what this is saying is that the Holy Spirit helps you feel God's love. Are you listening? Are you seeking? The Holy Spirit gives you a sense of belonging. Now, Jesus went through, he said this really long verse right before he went through his trial to the disciples because he wanted them to know they belonged. They belonged. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. That's the Holy Spirit to be with you. It's the Spirit of truth. The world doesn't know what this Spirit. He doesn't give it to everybody. He gives it to you. He doesn't give it to the world that does not seek him. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, Jesus said, because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. So do you feel like you don't belong? A lot of times we do. We can walk into a church and feel like we don't belong. But Jesus says, I'm coming to you. I'm going to live within you as an advocate, someone who loves you. That's another thing the Holy Spirit does. Do you need truth? Ask the Holy Spirit. Do you need a place to belong? He abides with you and in you. Ask the Lord for more of the Holy Spirit. This is a totally appropriate prayer. God, give me more of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, please, I need to see and know the Spirit. Do you feel weak? You can't conquer some sin? You fall apart at the same cause every week? All of those things in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So that's another fact of the Holy Spirit. If you're weak, he helps you. He prays for you. The Holy Spirit prays for you, and he prays right. He prays according to God's will. So you don't have to worry about that. He's not going to get off track. He's going to intercede for you. So we still have the question, like the question about my keychain and the clapper that I needed to do a couple of things to activate. I needed a battery and I needed my hands to get with it. So what is it that you can do to activate the Holy Spirit in your life? You can pray. Prayer is very important. It's very important to call on him, talk about him, not just when Aunt Mary needs healing, but when you need help. Call on him, talk to him, delight in him, be persistent. That's number two. Have the faith to keep putting your wishes before Him. This does not mean a wish for a Ford F-150. Okay? So let's put our needs before Him. Invite Him into your decisions. Persist about things you don't understand, frustrations, anything that you wish for. Persist in getting to know Him better. Asking Him, where do you want me to serve you? What open doors? Let me see them. The third thing is to have gratitude. When you pray, you must be prepared to receive from Him. And so the word that's coming to my mind right now is whining. Every time you pray, don't whine. Say, hey, I'm going to try the opposite this time. I'm going to be grateful. And so then you talk to Him and say, well, I'm glad that you've done this. I'm glad you've provided this. And learn to meditate on His kindness, because you'll see His kindness in your life when you start learning how to look for it. Be desperate for God. Has anybody ever said that to you? Be desperate for God. Let yourself long for Him. Pour out your heart for the things of God. God, I want to understand this book. I want to understand this passage. This doesn't make sense to me, God. I desperately want to know. I want you to tell me, because I can't figure it out. I want your wisdom. I have this child that he and I don't get along. What can we do about that? Open my eyes, God, to your wisdom. How would you handle that? In other words, be hunger for Him, to tell you, to talk to you, to walk close to you. Like Moses. I want to see your face, God, Moses said. Be desperate for God. Have confidence in His answer. Now, you guys are trying to figure out about places to go, things to do with your adult lives, working, where to work, how to graduate, go on and move on. Have confidence in His answer. It may not be what you want. It may be the biggest, strongest closed door you ever saw. But realize that that door that's open or closed is there to grow you up, to help you. Because we all need to grow still, no matter how old we are. If we're 89, we need to grow. We need to be trained for better things, to be a better person. So have confidence in His answer. Jesus said, if you, who are evil, know how to answer your children's requests and give them good things, how much more will the Lord pour out His Holy Spirit to you if you ask Him? And it's a huge gift that makes you a blessing. Do you want to be more joyful? Do you want to be a blessing to all those people you encounter throughout the day? Do you want your faith to matter? Ask for the Holy Spirit. Open the gift. Activate it. Start learning about it. And you too can be the church that received the Holy Spirit and that blessed everybody for two states over. Amen?